So he has a group of kids. Now the question is, should he encourage the children to come? I mean, children that are 14, 15, maybe beneath bar mitzvah, but they, to get to the shul, they would have to drive some of the 10 miles away. Not possible for them to walk. Should encourage them to come or not? Because otherwise, they'll be completely lost. They have no kesha with Yiddishkeit at all. So I asked Rav Moshe this question. Rav Moshe said, you want to be machanach children in Torah by telling them to be over on the din of the Torah? He says, that's impossible. If you can't do that. Whatever they do on their own is their problem, but what you do, you're going to encourage them to come. You can't do that. So you don't do anything for Kiruv if it involves any other era. When one learns from Svarim such as Piskei Tshuva Sukdoma, they bring down many shittas from different poskim. Is there a mahal for one to be machriya on his own? How do we know? You must ask a shala every time. There is, there are some guidelines. I mean, if you know the sugya and you feel that you have the kach to machriya the shayla, you know all the svaras of the matirim, you know the svaras of the isrim, you know all the relevant gemaras and Beis Yosefs and the Bach and the Tur and the other achroinim who speak about it, and you want to machriya the shayla, if you feel you have the kach to do it, so you could do it. But if you don't feel that way, there are some certain guidelines. If there's a machlokes in the poskim and there's a minik, so then you go after the minik. If not, you really should ask someone how it's supposed to be naik. But if there's no one to ask, then the general rule is that you go after rov ha-poskim. But the Piskei Tshuva does not necessarily bring down Rav HaPoskim. He brings down Poskim. And you don't know if it's Rav or it's not Rav. But if you do know, you go after Rav. And if you don't know, then the general rule is, if it's a question about a din of the Torah, we say the Abdi Machme. If it's a din of the Rabbanon, you could be making it. How should one respond when asked by a guy what tzitzis are? Yarmulke. I don't know what you're supposed to answer a guy. I don't know what the problem is over here. You say that the tzitzis are mentioned in the Bible. Well, Islam tzitzis are comfortable again, or something. It's not something which you made up. They believe in the Bible also. So he just, this guy evidently doesn't know what it says in the Bible.
Is
that their teaching entire? Whatever's before is there's no such a guy. Because when the Yidden came to Eretz Yisrael, the Banshom said, you should put up these stones and you should write the Torah on these stones in 70 languages. Bar Hayde, Rashi says, B'shim Loshim. So who did they make it in 70 languages for the Yidden? Who spoke Hebrew? No, they made it in 70 languages for the Goyim, that they should be able to understand what Torah is about. And but Torah Shavu Ksav, there is no Issa.
I was in that situation, both the Amalek and the Tzitzis, as far as the Tzitzis go, it was more recently, so I told them it was a biblical commandment, and so they were satisfied with that. But one time when I was in college in a little hick town in New Jersey, I was the only person there who wore a yarmulke. And I was walking through the hallway, there were a couple of girls standing there, and they asked me, what's that thing on your head? How come you wear that thing on your head? So I put on a serious face and I said, I wear it for my religion. And they said, oh, what religion? Then when I tell them I'm Jewish, they said, well, I know some Jewish people, how come they don't wear that thing on their head? And they have to start explaining.
Okay. So the things like this, the tzitzis, if they ask you why, so you tell them it's in the Bible and they're still curious and say, well, what is it? What's the purpose of this? So you can say that they are supposed to remind you of all the mitzvahs that it says in the Torah. V'zchar l'chom yisrael Hashem, because tzitzis is gematria 600, and I can explain that to them. And there's five knots and eight strings, so they're together 613. So the, but a yarmulke is more difficult to explain, especially because a yarmulke is not really, is not even the Torah to wear a yarmulke. And it says in the Mechaba that you're not, when you go to a shul, basically you're supposed to wear a yarmulke. The Mechaba also says you shouldn't go Dal Damas Begilei Rosh. So it's a stira. Here it says that you shouldn't go Dal Damas Begilei Rosh, and here it says that you should wear, when you go into a shul, you're supposed to wear a yarmulke. The answer is that you shouldn't go Dal Damas Begilei Rosh is midas chasidus. You shouldn't go with Gilei Rosh. You're not an Oved Aveira, but this is midas chasidus, which the Mechaba holds every person should do. But in under extenuous aging situations, you don't have to. As a matter of fact, the Sephardim, until they came to America, they, most of their countries did not wear a yarmulke. It wasn't the minhag over there to wear a yarmulke. Because when they went to shul, they wore a yarmulke. When they davened, they wore a yarmulke. We made a bracha, wore a yarmulke. Otherwise, they didn't wear it, because it's not a chiv. But in a shul, it's a chiv to wear it because of the cover of the Shechina. And the kayanim, both the kayan gadol and the regular kayan, they had for the garment to wear. One of them was the shirt, and one was the pants. They had a belt, and they had a head covering. So that was part of their lavush. And the, it was part of their lavush to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And we do the avodah of the Ribbono Shel Olam, we do the mitzvahs, so therefore we wear a head covering for a similar reason. If one is one chayv to awaken someone who's still sleeping, if it's close to Zman Kriyashma, what about for Zman Tefillah? Okay, so really, how do you know that he didn't say Kriyashma? Maybe he was up the whole night and he down in Kvatikim and he said Kriyashma but he went to sleep. If you're sure that he did not say Kriya Shema yet, you have right to assume he'll be happy if you woke him up to say Kriya Shema, because it's a chiv to say Kriya Shema. And say if he's Elachid, he wants to do all the mitzvahs, so you have right to wake him up.
Even if it's apparent?
Even if it's what?
Even if it's apparent.
Even if it's apparent. He's a Frumiyid, he for sure wants to say his man Kriya Shema.
Yesterday he said not to do it. Yesterday I woke him up and he said don't do that again.
So then you should not do it. You should not do it. And what about Zman Tefillah? It's the same thing. Now, of course, there's two Zmanim of Kriya Shema, and unless you know the person's makkid to say the earlier one, you should not wake him up until the second Zman Kriya Shema. Can one listen to his sister's mother or daughter sing the... I just recently saw in Rav Yashiv's Sefer that he says that for Zmiris, you're allowed to, the whole family's allowed to sing together, even though that there were, that there's sisters and mothers and daughters that are singing, so you're allowed to do that. But there's different heterim for singing Zmiris than there are for stump singing. One of them is that the says in Stei Chemed, Zmiris Kodesh Einon, maybe yes, they hear her. They're not maybe they hear her, so therefore you don't have to worry about it by Zmiris. And there is also a heter from the Sri Deish who says it's Trekal Amishtami if you're singing together, so you don't hear them specifically. But if they just sing by themselves, so there's a question like this: so a person's wife is not, is she's Tamei, she's Anita, you're allowed to listen to her sing. So Rav Moshe Paskin, you're not allowed to listen, even though that you're not allowed to listen. So according to that, I would say the Kol Shekein, that you should not listen to these when they're singing by themselves. But if they're singing with